Welcoming you all to the special called meeting of the Design Review Board. And I think you all are probably familiar with our process. And normally what we're doing is we are considering applications for changes to property in the historic districts or the overlay districts, and primarily assisting property owners with the changes they want to make. But we also have another responsibility at times, and that is to consider expanding either the historic district or the overlay districts. And now that's a recommendation in that case. And you are probably aware that this meeting was called at the request of a potential buyer for the Old Aiken Hospital site. And so that's why we're here. And we will, if you would like to have an opportunity to speak, we'll certainly allow that. I'm going to let our director of planning, Ryan Bland, sort of give us an update of where we are, since we no longer have that particular...
I'd like to make a statement that I'm recusing myself from the consideration of this matter because my husband and I are in negotiations with the owner of the property, Aiken County, to purchase a different property.
Okay. Thank you. Ryan, go ahead and if you would, give us an update.
All right, we'll give you the staff report. For consideration before you this evening is designation application DES 18-01002. As Ms. Knowles alluded, she and Martin Buckley are co-applicants on this, both having standing for doing so as council-appointed board members. They are requesting expansion of the historic overlay district to include the site of the Aiken County Hospital and Nurses Home, generally bounded by Richland Avenue West, Morgan Street Northwest, Barnwell Avenue, and Vaucluse Road. The site currently contains a number of buildings, including the Nurses Home and the mid-1930s hospital building, which was designed by architect Willis Urban. You have certain criteria that the board is required to consider when it comes to designation of a property into the historic overlay district or as an individually listed property. Those are included in section 5.2.2.B of the zoning ordinance, that one, it is significant in American, South Carolina, or Aiken history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, or culture, and two, has integrity of location, design, setting, materials, or workmanship that need to be protected or preserved, and meets one or more of the following criteria: is associated with events that have made significant contribution to history, it is associated with the lives of persons significant in history, it has distinctive characteristics of type, period, method of architecture, construction, represents the work of a master, possesses high artistic values or represents a significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinction. It has yielded or likely to yield important information in prehistory or history, or is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. This item is here before you as a special meeting. It was originally submitted to staff, and it has a noticing requirement different than that of any other thing that we do in the planning department, and planning missed that by one day to be able to accommodate that at your regular meeting, the previous regular meeting, so we tried to hold a meeting as soon as we could thereafter receiving the nomination application. You have some correspondence, one piece of correspondence here in favor attached into your staff report. That is from... I'm getting the name right, the West Richland Improvement Team, represented by Laura Bagwell. You have two additional pieces that were forwarded to you in email, but also distributed hard copy. One from Charlotte Wiedemann, president of Historic Aiken Foundation, in support of the nomination. You also have an email from County Administrator Clay Killian requesting continuance to allow the potential purchaser of the subject property sufficient time to participate in the public process. You have some staff recommendation here. In general, if staff's thoughts are, if we know that the property is likely in the process of changing hands during the course of these actions, it would be good policy as due process to allow sufficient time for that entity to respond. And that generally comes from, again, just kind of general thoughts on due process as part of, as while the board has, there are multiple steps for a property beginning to be listed or for the district to be expanded, including a consideration and recommendation from this board, consideration and recommendation from Planning Commission, and then two readings of an ordinance by City Council to approve. So there is process there, but at the same time viewed as each individual process along the way, each individual public hearing. So, and again, that's just staff's recommendation, but there are processes to follow, whether this board will take action or not. If the board, this is a legally noticed public hearing, so the board has the ability to share, has the ability to open up a public hearing and take public comment at this time. And so you have the application, the full application materials received from Mr. Buckley and Ms. Knowles included herein, and staff would be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ryan. And I noticed that staff is of the opinion that it may be wise to continue this because of that 15-day notice we're trying to give to the public. Now we have a new entity, maybe a possible owner. I think really we rushed into this last time and it got reversed and we had some unintended consequences. So I think it would be wise to take the time, you know, to, you know, think about the advantages and disadvantages. Let me say that since you all are here, we'll give you all an opportunity to speak. We've gotten several letters, but we may end up having a motion after that to continue this to, I guess, maybe 90 days, in which case you could speak again. But I think I would like to reserve as far as our board discussion. Sometimes we wander over into the into the application period and make comments, you know, pro or con. I think we'll avoid that tonight because if it's continued, we shouldn't be having a discussion without everybody.
Right. Yeah. Staff would recommend that while you have an open public hearing, and this is in any case, while you have an open public hearing to limit kind of the opinion on the application of certain criteria, but maybe you could kind of at least bring up procedurally how maybe how some of that could be evaluated, that sort of thing. But as far as individually weighing in, as far as a discussion amongst the board, probably a good idea to limit that until you close a public hearing and are ready to take a motion and action.
Yeah. But I think before we make the motion to continue, if that ends up being the one we make, that we'll go ahead and open this up to those of you who want to speak for a few minutes. We'll probably allow five minutes each, and then again you'll have another opportunity to speak, most likely.
McDonald, I have a question for Ryan.
Okay.
If it does get historic designation, what extra steps does the business owner have to take? I mean, how does that affect the business owner?
So kind of the long and short of it is that within the historic district, any changes to property that can be seen from public right-of-way require certificate appropriateness from the design review board. And so this would make this particular property subject to those regulations, and the board has designated, I guess, sort of a matrix of things that may be approved administratively, things that could be approved at the board level, things that would not necessarily require review. And so it would come to what the particular changes made to the property as far as where that would fall, and also kind of depend on how the property is designated. So each individual structure on the property could be listed as a landmark, contributing or non-contributing property. So there are still kind of a number of if you were to amend the district to include this, those kind of judgments and consideration would be need to be made for certain components of the property as well. If not the property as a whole, you have a few different ways you can do that.
Correct. There are two buildings that I know of, the nursing building and then the main building, and probably when and if this were expanded, we would want to acknowledge that this includes both buildings or one. I guess explaining a little bit further, having it in the historic district simply means that changes that are proposed come before us, and they could include removing the rear wing or painting it or other things that we that we might consider. On the other hand, if it gets listed and they want to use it for tax credits, then they'll have a stricter set of guidelines that go beyond ours, and it'll be decided in Columbia and then in D.C., I guess. So there'll always be some review. Right now, even if it weren't in the district, whatever is done here would come before Planning Commission, and I think they'd probably require a concept plan. Isn't that right?
It hasn't been discussed at that level. It wouldn't necessarily be required, but I believe it would be, depending on whether they would require a change of use of the property, and then it would be subject to Planning Commission review if they were to request a change in the zoning
office,
of the property.
It's currently office.
Currently it's office, correct.
So if there were other uses, then it probably means that you have a PUD type of review, but either way it's going to get some kind of review. And so there are different levels of strictness, and some of those will be at the recommendation of the new owner. And what's changed is the original potential buyer required this. He couldn't make his offer unless he knew maybe this would be included and he could definitely do the tax credits. Others may have a different approach to preservation. So, now, any other questions?
I got one more.
Okay.
I missed this question.
Okay.
Ryan, the language in the bid document, I think, said they had to preserve it, right? Was it preserve or they couldn't tear it down?
Staff has not done a legal analysis done at this point of their agreement with the county, so I wouldn't be comfortable speaking as to what the parameters of that are.
They have to come back after their due diligence. They may adjust that order.
It's my understanding that it's similar to a contract for exclusive negotiation with the county on the property.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are still certain components of what they are requesting that are can be some back and forth between the county and the potential purchaser.
They can back out. If they would. So that might open up a new round.
But if they follow through, I thought that the ordinance said they couldn't tear it down. So just what I remember reading in the paper. So.
Yeah. I think it goes beyond our purview, so there's probably some touch with it. Now,
ask a question.
Yes.
So it's about the application and the applicant. Since this property is owned by the county, I don't see anything here authorizing the applicant to make the application. Is there some kind of do I not understand something?
Right. So yeah, the clause or the section of the city zoning ordinance for amending the historic district or individually listing says that the nomination may be made by a member of the city council, any member of a board appointed by the city council, or by the property owner.
Okay.
So in this case, the property owner just has to receive notice.
Okay.
If one of the other entities is doing the nominating.
So the correspondence we have from Clay Killian doesn't change the standing of the applicant?
That is correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Thank you for clearing
that. All right. Now, would anyone here like to speak? You're welcome to come to the lectern and give your name and address, and we'll, if you could, limit it because you may be doing it again. So,
I'll start out as one of the applicants, and what I would like to do is not really get in. I had a nice little speech all planned, but I'm not going to deliver that.
Right.
But to talk a little bit about the process, mm-hmm. and answer any questions about the application.
Sure.
And then if we do this again, then I'll reserve the right to speak. So we were present at County Council after this last meeting when Council voted. And it's an ordinance on third reading to sell the property to the Marion Group with the condition that the building remain. So that's the county's condition. So we filed this application, first of all, at the request of Mr. Halterman, who was at that time the presumptive buyer and a county councilman, because Mr. Halterman needed the tax credits. And, you know, the reason we filed it before third reading was because there was a limited amount, he had a limited amount of due diligence time, and he wanted this done before he could, you know, conclude the deal with the county. And it's his opinion that this deal has to be done with tax credits or it's not going to work. And so the two issues here are the tax credits, and the second issue is what control is the city going to have over this parcel, which is an important parcel for the city at the moment because it's the kind of the head of West Richland that the city is intending to approve. So Mr. Halterman's plan was he was going to convert the building into lofts, and he also had a plan maybe to put some other housing on the side, you know, of the property, although he wasn't sure that would work. But if this property is part of the historic district, then the city has control over what else goes on the property. So those are the two reasons for this application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good, thank you. I think this is helpful. It's like a formal kind of work session that we need to be deliberative. I'm curious if this got included in the historic district, then just to clarify, it would simply mean that any improvements to the building would come to the design review board.
Only exterior improvements.
That's that you're able to see from the street.
Right. Yeah.
Now you could. But
there are other buildings on the site.
Maybe.
New buildings would have to be approved
if they're
yes
possible.
By design review.
Yeah. But I guess it's okay to ask this. Would you include the nursing building as?
Yes.
I know that's part of this. We'd review it. We can actually, if we had a affirmative vote, you could somebody come in and say they're going to tear down the whole building or both buildings, and we might approve that. They wouldn't get tax credits. But so I guess what I'm asking.
If they meet our criteria for tearing down buildings, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, but I just wondered about the whole site, and in particular the nursing building, that how you felt like the application would apply to the nursing building.
So
do you see that as a real critical part of the
Oh, I love that building. I think it's a great building. Yeah. But yes, it would. It would apply. You know, the demolition part would apply to the old hospital building and the nurses' building.
Okay. You have almost as much importance, not as much, not totally, but I understand what you're saying. I think it has wood floors, maybe, and some
yes.
wood.
Okay. Very attractive.
Yeah. I'll ask if others of you have questions about the. We're not really. We're trying not to get into the area of the actual merit of the application, but how the process might work.
And if there are any questions or concerns about the application that you have, I would be happy to try to either answer them or get answers.
So, is it your opinion that we are waiting for Clay to be able to testify at the next committee meeting?
I think we just wanted to, technically, we wanted to make sure that this 15-day notice that we're having a hearing, that somebody isn't left out if they wanted to be heard one way or the other. It's likely that the new folks may want the tax credit too. But right now, to come in the day, I think they're coming in tomorrow, or this week sometime, to begin to look at the building, and I think we just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to do.
Perhaps it could be suggested that they could be here for the next meeting and give us give you their thoughts at that time.
I think that'd be helpful, and maybe that would give them time, a couple of weeks, or maybe it may take a little longer for them to really evaluate how much of the building they really want to use. Good. Any other questions? And then we don't want to stay here too long, but if there are others who want to speak, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to...
You know you have to speak in that microphone.
Okay, just, adding on to what Lucy said. The only people, my name is Susan French, and I am a recent retiree, of the city, and the staff person for the Design Review Board for 15 years, which I love. Okay, so my main concerns here at the beginning were to help Brian Halterman in his process of trying to gain, to be the owner of this property. As time moved on and I could see how things were kind of moving around and, kind of going off this way and this way, it became less about Brian Halterman and more about the property. This piece of property is a gateway into downtown Aiken. We have already heard from neighborhood associations that they're very concerned about Richland Avenue. The city and Ryan are working on Richland Avenue, trying to, not dress it up, but just to make it more viable and what we want it to be as an entryway to the city. So back to the tax credits, the only people I've ever talked to and have ever read about that have redone old hospitals, old schools, old mills, all over the state, anywhere, have all used the federal tax credits because it's the only, that's the way that they are viable jobs, and it works well because it's a way to protect the buildings, it's a way for the developers to make money, and you're saving a building. So I think that's just important. The other thing is, like we say, we don't know the Marion Group. I didn't know they were coming tomorrow, and I would love to be, and some of us would love to see what they see. But the other aspect is, if they come in and do this, what else are they going to do? Let's say they save the hospital. Let's say they save the nurses' building. What else are they going to do? How is that piece of property going to be the piece of property it should be as the gateway? A gateway into Aiken. And the other thing I wanted to say is, if you do designate this or do the rezoning for this piece of property, adding it in, you can always, like, everything doesn't have to be a landmark, Katie. You can designate one building a landmark, you can designate another building contributing, and you can designate another building non-contributing. And each of those levels have different levels of review. Okay, so, you know, I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be heavy-handed, and we've learned that over the years. That's just, you know, what I wanted to say. So I can see the goodness, no matter what, of having some kind of review, like Park Avenue has review in the old Aiken overlay. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's not just dramatically different and awful like people would say 15 years ago. Yeah.
Well, let me, that's helpful. Thank you. Because there are three buildings, I believe. You know, there's another metal building
right.
shop back there
right.
that may not be contributing.
Mm-hmm.
Contributing to something else, not a historic district.
Right.
But you mentioned overlay districts. There's really just as great a need to have a view of this.
Yes.
Of maybe part of Richland Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're going to be working on a piece with Richland Avenue as well. So that may.
I was going to ask you how you felt about that, about extending an overlay district on down.
Richland the other way, you mean, or just down this side of Richland?
I'm saying going west down the hill.
Yes.
This building, unfortunately, there was another hospital there that,
yep.
that really did conform
yeah.
to the historic district
right.
and was right up there on the street frontage and had a
right.
porch,
yep.
I think, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be kind of neat maybe to reconstruct something there like that.
Talked about
but
that.
Unfortunately, this building began the unraveling
uh-huh.
in some ways of Richland Avenue where it became commercial. You had a pharmacy across the street.
Yeah.
And it may be this can play a role
right.
in redevelopment all the way out, you know, to USCA. This Richland is the one that's suffered most
mm-hmm.
from leapfrogging
yeah.
the development.
So mm-hmm. And one more thing you just brought up to me. Way back when, you know, we had the downtown overlay, if y'all remember, and then we did the Old Aiken master plan, and we divided Old Aiken into quadrants,
mm-hmm.
and the plan was to bring in one quadrant at a time. So
mm-hmm.
we started with Northeast,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that
mm-hmm.
was done, and then everything went haywire, and it never was completed. So we have three other quadrants that have never been done, but that was what the Old Aiken Master Plan supported and wanted to happen.
Right.
And that hospital is right at that intersection. So anyway.
Transition space. I think that's a very important point to make, that there's generally no transition. You stop right at
exactly.
the edge of the district, and then you can do whatever you want.
Right.
And there ought to be a transition mm-hmm. that has review. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, that was helpful.
Hello, I'm Martin Buckley. The fact that the hospital is not right up to the street is probably a good thing. It was originally done because the original hospital was in operation during the construction, and that dictated that it be. In fact, I think that they were connected at one point, and then as soon as the hospital was completed, the original building was taken down. The original building was a pretty nice building, but it didn't work too well. It had a great circular stair with a dome over it and a ladder and above, and there was a lot of complaint about getting people up and down the stairs and so forth. It was monumental, nice, great, and didn't work.
As a hospital.
A lot of architecture is that way. But this was a more permanent building. It was set back, and the fact that it is set back is probably a blessing. I mean, I don't think anyone thought it was bad at the time to have a little bit of a kind of a park between the smaller buildings around it and the big structure, seed rooms building, say. People kind of happy it wasn't put right up on the street, aren't they? There are reasons for it. It's part of its history. It's part of our downtown, and it would be nice if there were city control over it, and it wasn't just done to us by the county. Their rules, they wag the whole thing. It's your chance to consider what really would be best for Aiken, and to do something nice with that would be a grand opportunity, and it shouldn't be put off or missed or whatever. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to try.
Mm-hmm. We have photographs, but you have a knowledge of the interior of the previous hospital. It sounds like, just from reading.
Yes, from reading mostly. But it is in a splendid time. There's a little article about it in there. And there are various other little bits and pieces here and there, descriptions of it. And it was a McGee & McGee building. And I no idea who designed it, but it was pretty nice.
It was an attractive building, yeah.
Yes, from the
but it was built for that purpose as a hospital.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it wasn't a house.
1917.
Yeah.
It was the hospital there.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of history on this property, and you are exactly right. It's the sort of beginning of the grid on the west. On the west side, it's you're not aware of that so much, I guess, because of the pharmacy on one side. And
well, it's kind of nice to have the park out front, and even if the park does have to share use with a parking lot, parking lots can be a whole lot less, you know, they don't have to quite look like car lots or, you know, sales lots. And I think it's one problem that all of those buildings have had is very little maintenance and very little care, and no one really concerning themselves with how it presents itself. That just the slightest little bit of landscaping could do wonders to that property, and and make you feel a whole lot better about the somewhat somber brick hospital, which is well done and is a good example. And historically, there's a lot to be said for it. The skin grafting technique that was perfected there by Dr. C. Parker Meek. Mm-hmm. First name was Cicero. He had to do something good. And skin graft procedure, he was probably a reasonably modest man, because you look up his name, you find almost nothing. But if you Google the meager technique, you hit jackpot. You find articles in Dutch and all sorts of things. This was a big deal. And the skin graft process was very ingenious. And we ought to try it on someone sometime. Yeah. But it was very successful. It got headlines all over in medical journals, and it was written up in Time magazine in 1961, because they took a while to, they wanted to make sure it worked, I guess, before they wrote about it. But anyway, that is just one of the little pieces.
One of the rooms, whatever's done in the future, maybe ought to be dedicated to the history of the site and the hospital. I don't think too many people are aware of the breakthrough breakthroughs in terms of skin grafting. Why do you think it wasn't painted? A lot of real servants' buildings were painted.
Painted?
Yeah, they
exterior. I suppose they've been reading the Department of Interior guidelines.
Oh, really?
No, it's painting a brick building is something you keep doing time after time once you get started. It's a good thing not to.
Well, I found that brick, it's hard to get paint off of brick.
Yeah. It's very hard to get, and that's good brick. Those are clinkers, not clunkers. They're good sound.
There may be a problem with waterproofing.
They're not coming apart.
Yeah. And Martin, I guess that's what I sort of assumed that Willis Urban painted most of the Banksia and Green Boundary
In the South, we did a lot of that, but none of the buildings that Willis Irving did that I know of around here, the big in Augusta and so forth, the big ones, the sort of commercial ones, none of them are painted. I cannot think.
They're just our Aiken ones.
Pardon me?
Just our ones in Aiken.
And the Aiken High School was not painted.
The original one, Lawrence Street. Yeah. Maybe a matter of money. I don't know.
It was a pure and simple style, and architects are always asked to save money. And saving the paint is a pretty good savings in money, even back then.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when the hospital cost $200,000.
Yeah.
Or a little more. And although the numbers don't quite add up because of the thing I read had all the little things that they spent for it and so forth, and they did come to more than $200,000, but it said it was less than $200,000.
And that was the front wing that
we
see there.
It was the original version.
Yes. Okay. But let's gather all that up, and then it ought to really be documented and perhaps put on display.
If we could build
display.
Stuff like that for $200,000 these days, we'd be heroes.
Good. Thank you, then. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. Any others who'd like to speak? Okay.
Hi, my name is Laura Bagwell. I live on Solstice Meadow Lane, and I own two homes on Calmia Hill. I am, I guess, the founding member of the West Richland Improvement Team, the grassroots group that submitted to you through Ryan, mm-hmm. a letter supporting expansion of the historic overlay to include this 9.33-acre site and old hospital and the nurses' building. We are a very real grassroots collective. We've been working for more than a year to identify and begin to take some actions on concerns along Richland Avenue West corridor. Just one of our goals is to make sure that the Old Aiken Hospital gets saved from the wrecking ball, which last year was a very real possibility. It appears that salvation and preservation may be imminent, but we've discussed some uncertainty about that tonight. Nonetheless, speaking for the group, we are pleased that the building looks like it's going to be saved and not going to be demolished. However, our optimism is a little lukewarm and tempered by the fact that the property currently lies outside the historic overlay, and therefore it doesn't get any of the protections afforded by historic designation and being included in the historic overlay. I believe, as you've heard tonight and as demonstrated in the very comprehensive application and as Mr. Buckley described, the site itself is historically significant to the history of Aiken. The building is historic and architecturally significant, designed by Willis Irvin and built in 1936 with funds from the Public Works Administration. I believe that in order to preserve this property and repurpose it to its very highest and best use requires that the property be added to the historic overlay, or that the historic overlay be extended to include the property, so that this board will have oversight for the things that go on there. You know, we knew what the previous presumed purchaser was going to do with the property, and it required historical designation. We don't know so much about the current presumed purchaser, although we wish them well. We want to make sure that whatever they do is done within the guidelines of historical preservation and under the purview of this board. Now, I understand your hesitation to extend historic designation and expand the historic overlay at this time. But I want to encourage you to pursue in the most aggressive way historic preservation, historic designation, and expanding the historic overlay district so that that property will enjoy the protection and the oversight afforded by y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all my comments. Thank you.
I'd like to ask a little bit more about your grassroots organization. Now, there are other members, I presume. Are you it?
There are other members.
Okay.
Anyone who has signed our petition is a member of our group,
okay.
And our petition has been signed by nearly 300 individuals.
Okay.
A similar petition seeking to revive the historic Aiken Hospital has been signed by almost 600 individuals, so that's 1,000 people who are interested in the gateway concept, preservation of the building, and improving that Richland Avenue West corridor.
Correct. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of common interest here I'm detecting from your comments, but the need for some sort of review that just kind of stops right there, and anyone can build any motel or actually McDonald's, or they're probably the nicer of the buildings that are put in these strips.
Yes.
But how does your group feel about some overlay review of Richland Avenue West going on down the hill?
Speaking for myself, I'm all for it. Speaking at some risk for the other people who've been involved in this grassroots effort, I believe that we would welcome any kind of oversight, design standards, for example, that would improve the quality of the commercial district,
mm-hmm.
and improve the safety and the aesthetics of the neighborhoods that the Kalmia Hill neighborhoods that adjoin that Richland Avenue corridor.
Mm-hmm.
We would be delighted to see a greater connection between and among the downtown business district and USC Aiken and Aiken Regional Medical Center, and those professional buildings that are over there. We would be delighted to see a limitation or a complete restriction on what we feel are predatory lenders, payday lenders that are active in that area. We would be delighted to see fewer, I'll be generous, budget motels in that area, which conclusively and irrefutably are home to street-level criminals who make drugs, take drugs, sell drugs in our community. The uptick in street-level crime, breaking and entering, getting home invasions. We have all of these statistics from the Aiken County Sheriff's Department and from the City of Aiken, the Police Department. And we believe that the uptick in crime in our neighborhoods is directly tied to the presence of those kinds of businesses,
mm-hmm.
predatory lenders,
mm-hmm.
meth motels where they, you know,
mm-hmm.
can
right.
undertake their illegal activities. Mm-hmm. And then the location of our homes right next to that affords them a handy and easy target when they need more money to break in to continue right. there.
And then property values decrease.
Absolutely.
The same way when we have some design review and some control over
Absolutely.
Future property values increase, the reverse happens too. And that's what's happened. That whole strip, which was at one time, you know, a viable commercial business
Absolutely.
You know, strip. So,
notwithstanding our concerns about what we call the meth motels and the predatory lenders, we recognize that there are some great businesses along the Richland Avenue corridor. We are happy to support them. We note with great pleasure the fact that several of the businesses, including fast food places, have done a great job at their landscaping, their streetscaping, their lighting. Even right now, there are businesses in that corridor that are making an obvious investment in our neighborhood, trying to make it look more beautiful. Places like Sonic had a whole complete teardown and rebuild. Kentucky Fried Chicken is doing a facade improvement. Mm-hmm. Wendy's is doing a facade improvement. So mm-hmm. we feel like in the same way that deterioration can be contagious, so too can pride in one's community. And we see that happening. We want that to continue. And we feel like the preservation of this historic building at the top of the hill will be a seed for mm-hmm. improvements that will just fall all the way down the Richland Avenue hill.
I agree. It can be a real catalyst when if that first parcel begins to get some design review, that it's only logical that the surrounding, you know, thoroughfares have something at least where there's some kind of review, because likely there'll be now more development. And so I think it's difficult for city staff and even citizen boards to do that from the top down, to say, hey, in fact, it's been tried kind of unsuccessfully. Why don't you guys, we're here to help you. We're from the government.
Right.
But when it comes from the residents, it can be a lot more effective. So
right.
I would encourage you to continue to talk that idea up, that if this begins to get some attention and investment, this particular property, and I think it will, that there will likely be some more coming, but there ought to be design review instead of just more asphalt.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. It's been a bit of a challenge to temper some of the impatience on the part of the signatories of our petition, who everyone has their own different priority one, you know, and they want to see things done right now. So one of the approaches that we've tried in our communications is to stress the importance of achieving a win on this preservation of the old hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, then let that provide some momentum for engaging with design review, with city council, with county council, mm-hmm. and with anyone else who will listen to us about how we proceed then. Mm-hmm. What can we work on now mm-hmm. among our list of
Good.
Issues?
I think that's very relevant to what we're discussing in terms of this one particular property. So thank you for your thoughts.
Thanks. I appreciate you listening.
Other questions? We'll let you sit down.
Thank you.
All right. Would anybody else like to speak? We'll have a motion. If not,
so are we going to think the motion is going to be to continue or not continue? And then if
right
that's
forward,
done, then
we'll
decide if we're going to. But it could be two motions.
Could be either one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good evening. My name is Mandy Drumming, and tonight I'd like to talk about the architectural significance of the former Aiken Hospital, and in doing so, I hope you consider designating the hospital and its structures to the Aiken Historic Register and and the district. This designation is important to me for several reasons. I hold a master's in the history of decorative arts from the Corcoran College of Art and Design in partnership with Smithsonian Associates. I live in the Northwest neighborhood, and I'm a founding member of Revive Historic Aiken Hospital, and we also are a newly formed group, and we support the adaptive reuse and the appreciation of the Aiken Hospital. Almost never can architecture be separated from the ideological context in which it was produced, said distinguished architect Bernard Shinami. The Aiken Hospital is no exception to this rule. The architecture of the Aiken Hospital, visible today, provides us with insight about the American social and political climate of the mid-1930s, the period in which the majority of the Aiken Hospital was designed and constructed. The front main section of the Aiken Hospital was constructed between 34 and 36 with funds provided by the Public Works Administration, one of many New Deal programs created by President Franklin D. Roosevelt to improve the conditions of the United States during the Great Depression. The design of the hospital came from renowned local architect Willis Irvin, and Irvin designed the Aiken Hospital in a restrained, stripped-down, abstract version of the Colonial Revival style. And it's much more austere compared to some of the other Colonial Revival structures built in Aiken for the wealthy during the midst of the Winter Colony. And it's so austere, some individuals claim the Aiken Hospital is simply a series of masonry boxes and represent no particular architectural style. And these are some of the heavier, ornate Colonial Revival styles, that buildings that were built prior to the hospital. But the Aiken Hospital building is not as completely rectilinear as, say, the nearby Aiken County Health Center, which is better known as the Aiken County Council Building, which is a mid-century modern international-style building built in 1957 during the Cold War and the midst of the Civil Rights Movement. And like the Aiken Hospital, is being recommended by the SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, for the Register, National Register of Historic Places. Okay. Those are the documents showing that recommendation. And the hospital is different because it does show some decoration. It's not as austere as the mid-century modern building. It shows some decoration, including classical denteling, rosettes, a small accentuated entranceway with two Doric pilasters. And showing classical details together with this stark rectilinearity, the Aiken Hospital and Colonial Revival architecture in general looks both backward and forward. It uses past for its vocabulary, but can also seem to anticipate modern language with its simple lines and abstract shapes. Referencing a colonial past while at the same time looking ahead, the modern Colonial Revival architecture of the Aiken Hospital ideally translate Jeffersonian ideals propagated by a progressive Franklin D. Roosevelt during the tumultuous Great Depression. At that time, there was race relations strained, democracy wavered, and World War II loomed. Roosevelt asked Americans to look back to these modern problems, look back and remember and uphold not conventional perception of colonial America, but rather its initial notions, tolerance, stability, and independence. And to do this, Roosevelt would ask the press to call him a modern-day Jefferson. He requested Harry Lindbergh, who is a distinguished architect of large country colonial revival style estates, to design a U.S. embassy in Moscow as a modern version of Monticello, which is Thomas Jefferson's house. And he also supported numerous colonial-themed art and architecture projects, including the hospital. It's not a coincidence that the architecture of the Aiken Hospital resembles other PWA buildings, which too present a modern take on colonial revival architecture. And so the modern colonial revival architecture of the Aiken Hospital provides insight about the Jeffersonian stance President Roosevelt embraced and propagated during the 30s, and it also marks an important period in the architectural and developmental history of Aiken as far as showing that bridge between what architecture was prior to it and what came after. And so I do hope you... Please consider putting it in the district. Last summer I taught a camp, an art camp for students titled Art in Aiken Architecture. We visited all these buildings, and they, it allows me to teach our children about the developmental history in Aiken, in the country, just through these architectural elements and these buildings.
Tell me about the Indians conferring with Sir William Johnson there.
Well, there was a lot of colonial-themed art that was funded by a federal government at that time, and this was
Mural somewhere that was done in 1939. Is that what that is?
Yeah, this was a mural in 39. There was thousands of art and architecture projects sponsored by the government at that time. A lot of it's colonial revival style, and then you also see a lot of colonial themed examples, because even Roosevelt, that's when Jefferson got on the nickel. Very big Jeffersonian period at that time, and this building reflects that.
Yeah, we have another mural across the street.
Yes, and that's
WPA mural, I believe.
Being a decorative arts design historian, I'm actually, and my thesis was about a school called the Design Laboratory when I was in graduate school, and it was federally funded, and it was only in existence from 35 to 40 because the war started and it lost funding, but I'm very interested in that mural. I've been researching it, and it has a lot to say that has not been said yet, or has been said and is not true. So I'm very interested in that as well. Aiken's got a lot of art objects I take my kids, I have two young children, I take them to Augusta, I take them to Columbia, to the museums to learn about art objects. We got our own, and this is one of them. The mural is one of them. The mid-century modern building is one of them. I'm pleased that Aiken has such a variety of architectural examples, and this, I don't know of anyone that's like this in Aiken, so it's pretty valuable.
You've been through the old hospital.
I haven't been in it, no.
Oh, you haven't been in it. I was going to ask your opinion of the interior, but I'll wait till you go take a tour. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more, if it can be brief, because I think you'll probably want to speak again at the...
I will be very brief. I'm Charlotte Whedon, then 626 Hayne Avenue. I live on one of those little corners that's just visible on the bottom of the map. So in there, the little tiny nubbin there, part of Historic District 3, but we started this process, obviously, to help Mr. Halterman, and it was important because he said from the get-go, to do these type of projects, you have to have the historic tax credits in place. And fortunately, the city of Aiken has put in their own 50-year marker, so locally we can do it, but for the federal grants that are available, this is really important. So when there was an unexpected turn of events, let's say, at the county council meeting, we said, well, what do we do now? And the idea was to continue forward for two reasons. One, Councilman Bunker said, on his Facebook post that historical preservationists should be excited at the prospect of keeping the historical structure standing. And we awarded the contract to a developer who will incorporate the old structure into their new site plan. And likewise, the purchaser or the possible purchaser from the Marion Group says, you always hope to save an old building, and that is certainly what we're going to into this planning to do. So it kind of seemed like if there truly is their intent to move forward and save the building, I don't know anyone who has done an old building that either didn't take the tax credits or the front or didn't kick themselves at the end for not taking the tax credits when they realized they were kind of, oops, I should have started this from the beginning. So it seems like if this is the intent that county council wanted was to preserve the building and the developer says they will preserve the building, then moving forward in the process makes it all possible for them. What was concerning at that time was when there were the councilmen from, let's say, the Aiken area who were very much in favor of moving forward with Halterman. They felt comfortable with it. And they were very much deeply entrenched in Aiken and what we are used to, and you know, wanting to extend the beautification. That is an incredible entry to Aiken. My office is catty-corner from the Star, so I come up that rise every day, and I see a beautiful green space and a historic building on my left. And what the city has done down Richland is phenomenal. Michelle Jones Public Works Group has gone and done a magnificent job beautifying that Richland corridor there. So to have that nice entry into Aiken and then the beautiful street in, we got nervous when we heard council from other areas say, well, design review board will have oversight, and they didn't really seem to understand the process. The building and the property have no protections currently in place. So as long as they met the variance request for the use of the site, anything could go up. And so that's why we feel it's important to extend the historic district to an incredibly historic property. So that your oversight gives us some level of protection in beautification and keeping what's important. And the property values for a historic area are incredibly important. They are higher than other areas. So we feel for the city of Aiken, knowing that this is a protection for the historic district, is actually better for us. So obviously looking for y'all to move forward in a recommendation to extend it.
Okay, well, thank
you, Charlotte. I will speak again next time.
Yeah, you'll have an opportunity.
And I have been in the old hospital, and I'm actually quite fascinated with the fact that old descriptions of it talked about mahogany paneling in there, and I only saw green tile, but I'd love to know where the mahogany went.
Me too, but I don't remember it. When I had my tonsils out there, I don't remember the mahogany.
All right, thank
paneling.
You.
Thank you. Yeah, I think really, maybe just to summarize before we have a motion here, we're interested in partnering with whoever the new owner is, and that was really our intent with Brian, and this meeting is, we're here because of his request. But I think we want to do the same thing with the new group, and rather than have a heavy-handed effect, we'd like to again sort of have an open communication with them and what they might intend. I think we'll have more of an influence, really, if we can do it in that respect. So why don't we go ahead and consider this motion, perhaps the motion to continue. If we would consider that, I'd need a motion and a second, and then a positive vote if we would have that.
I move that we continue this designation application to the October meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion second, and that gives them more than 90 days.
Yeah, and just for clarification, right. if they were to want to participate sooner, mm-hmm. we could bring it to the board sooner.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. If they needed more of a commitment, but this gives them time to do their homework and due diligence and go through the building. I'm not sure they've been through it entirely. We'll have a work session. They could come to a work session.
Yeah, that's
really
right.
Literally the next meeting. I think it may be a little premature for them to be, on the agenda, but that would be a work session anytime. Okay, we have a motion second. Any other discussion, comments about the procedure? Okay, good. Well, thank you. All in favor of continuing this to the October meeting, raise your right hand. Okay, that's what we'll do, and we'll see you all. Then you'll get a notification if they do come in sooner. Certainly, we'll let everybody know. Mm-hmm. And we just want to have a careful, methodical deliberation here this time. And I'll go ahead, and I think that's our business for this evening, and we'll adjourn the meeting.
Yeah. Thank you.